In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, today's Mass is being offered specially for the most lost souls. The lessons in the vernacular. The epistle comes from the first letter of Blessed John the Apostle. Dearly beloved, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory which overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he that has overcome the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And this is he that came by water and the blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and by blood. And it is the Spirit which testifieth that Christ is the truth. And there are three who give testimony in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. And there are three that give testimony on earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three are one. If we believe the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, which is greater, because he hath testified of the Son. He that hath believed in the Son of God hath testimony of God himself. And thus concludes the epistle from the Apostle John. Please stand for the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John. At that time, when it was late, that same day, the first of the week, the doors were shut where the disciples were gathered together for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore were glad when they saw the Lord. He said therefore to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father hath sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive you the Holy Ghost, whose sins you shall forgive, and they are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain, and they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, who was called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Except that I shall see the hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the place where the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Jesus cometh, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be to you." He hath said to Thomas, "Put in thy finger hither, and see my hand, and bring hither my hand, and put it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "Lord, my Lord, and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Because thou hast seen me, blessed Thomas art thou, for you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed." Many other signs did Jesus also in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that, believing, you may have life in his name. Thus concludes the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John. You may be seated. So these are all the same readings which we had this very same weekend. Remember, this is just a regular ferial, a fourth class feast that we celebrate today. So there's nothing in particular. Indeed, on the universal calendar in any way, we don't have any great feasts of any saints today. So just to sit with this very same reading which we had on Quasimodo Sunday, which was this past Sunday, another word for it, Quasimodo Sunday. And so here, when we go into this particular reading, I think it's important to look at the first epistle that we have right there, and the very first lines of the epistle. Did you catch what John the Apostle says there in the fifth chapter, in the fourth verse? He speaks this way. He says, "Dearly beloved, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory which overcomes the world, our faith." Our faith is the thing which overcomes the world. In the struggles that we have, in everything that's difficulty within our lives, the thing that overcomes the world is our faith. Well, what is faith? The letter of the Hebrews, chapter 11, which is the faith chapter, of the scriptures that is there. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things which are not yet seen." Not yet seen. And so, oftentimes, what we think about, well, I'm lacking faith, I'm having doubt in some sort of way, the only way to fill that up or to somehow get me through it so that I can be what it says here within the scriptures in John chapter 5, verse 4, that I have to overcome the world, I have to overcome, and the thing that gives me the strength to overcome the world is my faith. And so how do I nourish my faith? I got to throw a bunch of facts into my brain, right? I got to lay on a whole bunch of facts. I got to read more evidence for that God is good. I got to have all these things that are there. I got to somehow build myself up by throwing a bunch of facts at me. But if you talk to anybody who's really, really struggling with their faith, those things mean nothing. I remember counseling a young lady in December and January who had lost a loved one. And what I mean by that is that her boyfriend broke up with her that she thought she was going to marry. It would have been easier if he had died. And so in that difficulty that she had with that, no matter how much truth everybody in her life was trying to pump into her, no matter how many people were trying to pray for her, no matter how many close people were trying to just tell her, hey, look, you know the truth of God. You teach the truth of God. You go out and give retreats. You go out and teach people all over the world about God. And yet, all the things that were being spoken to her had little to no effect on helping her to get through this, to be one who is actually overcoming, to one who is stronger in faith in the sense that you and I see that sentiment that goes along with faith. She felt totally abandoned, totally alone. She was totally in dryness, and what we would often say, she was in a sense of doubt. Why is that the case? It's because faith really doesn't have much to do with facts. I know for some of you maybe that's shocking. It just doesn't. That's what knowledge has to do with. Knowledge has to do with facts. Faith doesn't. Faith can be bolstered because of facts. Faith can be proven more rational because of facts. But faith has nothing to do with it. Let me give you an example here. This is controversial, so don't throw anything at me. I know you won't. Maybe online you will, but certainly you all here will. Something that I've been following very strongly is something that's probably been in the news. Granted, I never own a TV, but you know, I see it on the streams that I follow and in the news, little clips that I see on the internet. We follow the Derek Chauvin trial that's going on in Minnesota right now. It's got our whole world in an uproar. Strangely, the whole world, even though it's something really small here in Minnesota, yet it has the whole world set ablaze because of it, and has for a great period of time. Well, I've been following the trial of that. And what you do is, if you look at what happens on clips from CNN or MSNBC or ABC News, the nightly news that's going on right there, you follow all those things, and you're going to begin to say, wow, man, this guy is pretty much sunk. All the facts are against him. He's ready. There's no way. As one commentator said, why are we even holding a trial? We saw what happened. We saw the video. Obviously, he's guilty of murder. What's the point of due process? Just lock him up. Send him to the chair. Whatever they want to do there, he's guilty. But then when you actually look at the facts, when you look at the burden of proof, that it's actually on the prosecution to prove beyond a reasonable doubt, and the defense only has to give reasonable doubts to those who are the jurors, then you see that it's totally different. You see how weak the prosecution was in very many ways, that they actually didn't prove their case, where even though they've gone through 2 weeks, or really 3 weeks of 3 weeks of the trial, 2 weeks of testimony, you find that the prosecution hasn't ever said how it was that the man died. They've not put together a coherent thing. They said it could have been this, 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 it could have been that. That did it, but he was the reason why, or at least a strong contributing factor to the reason why. But they can't tell you how he died. That's really important if you're going to try to prove murder, right? And so if you follow the facts there, they point to one thing, Then why is it that everybody is saying that it's so clear that he was the one who murdered this one, or is guilty of negligent manslaughter, or whatever those charges are? It's not because they're following facts. Why? It's because of their emotion. It's because they will. They choose to believe something. Really, that's what goes on within the soul. Faith is not something that we arrive at by facts. Facts can help bolster, but it's something that happens in the will of our choosing, of our abandoning ourselves. That's why there's that Protestant song that says, "Even though I can't see, I still believe." How? Because I choose to believe, he says in another part of that song. I choose to believe, I choose to believe. Meaning, I choose to entrust myself to God in this sense. Those in the trial, they're choosing to entrust themselves to their preconceived notions of how they think it happened. And so they're choosing to go in that direction no matter what the facts are. So they'll just rearrange the evidence of the facts to fit what they wish. We all do those things. But it's the same thing with faith. So for you and I to overcome the world, what we have to do in the same way is choose to believe, is will to believe, is to abandon ourselves to Christ. Do we find God to be trustworthy? Do we find him to be somebody that is worthy of trust, that's worthy of fulfilling the promises that there? Is he somebody who does what he says that he does or not? And when bad things happen within our lives, when trials come up, when it seems like our world comes crashing down, like that young lady I began to tell you about at the beginning of this sermon, when everything seems to fall apart, then we begin to say, is God trustworthy? Is he really good? Is he truly benevolent? Is God able to do everything? Is God all-loving? And if he is, does he love me? As an individual? Does he care for me as a person? Am I one that he wishes to uphold? Maybe everybody in the whole world, the whole universe, God made to know him, to love him, and to serve him in this life, so they can be happy with him forever in the next life. As we say in Baltimore Catechism number 6. But maybe that was everybody except for me. Maybe I'm a special case. I know that's silly. Some of you are laughing in your seats. But that is how we feel when our lives come crashing down, isn't it? And so it takes a choice to believe. And so that's what we have to rely upon in this time. Next time you encounter somebody, or maybe you yourselves have your world just come crashing down, think of some of these examples and realize that the more facts that you throw at somebody, if they're really gone, isn't going to help them. But the way that you will win them over, it's not by just planting them with scripture that for them tastes like so much ash, because it has no savor in their mouth. They've lost all sense of taste. It's like they have COVID. But what it does to them, what's something that really helps them, is to remind them of ways in which maybe God was faithful to them in their life. Remind them of ways in which how a miracle happened for somebody in our community. To remind them of there were good things that God promised and that came through. And by that, to say, to offer them the opportunity to choose to entrust themselves again, because the same God who did that in that case wills to do that in your case. Even though you can't see it or taste it, or the facts don't seem to line up in what you're putting yourself before right now, that is really who our God is. And so it says right here, "Dearly beloved, whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith." Let's ask our Lord for an increase of faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.